Explore and remember several facets of God's forgiveness with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Flowing from the Cross. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Flowing from the Cross at issuesetc.org. Flowing from the Cross, Six Facets of God's Forgiveness, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
Look! There! Where he struck the river! He bleeds! The water turns to blood!
Blood flows from the god!
See how it spreads! It is blood!
That you may know the power of the Lord. For 7 days, Egypt will thirst.
7 days without water will
fill every jug and jar.
Pestilence will be everywhere.
For it's 7 times 7 days. No magician's trick will set your people free.
That's a scene from the movie The Ten Commandments. The plague, the first plague, the Nile turned to blood. 10 plagues God sent on Egypt. Why did he do this and culminate all of them with the worst of all, the death of the firstborn in every household, every Egyptian household? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 10th of November. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Moses and the plagues that God sent to Egypt in Exodus chapter 7. Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel will be our guest. It'll be part 6 of our series on the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school today, Doctrine in Practice, a potpourri of subjects to discuss, practical and theological, with Pastor Peter Bender. Then we'll be going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line, our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Moses and the plagues that God sent to Egypt in Exodus chapter 7, Pastor Tom Baker. He hosts the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
So people might say God sent plagues to Egypt in order to punish their sin and perhaps bring them to repentance. Can we be certain that this pandemic isn't something the same?
The pandemic that's occurring right now in the world?
Yes.
The virus. Okay. I would hesitate to say that for two or three reasons. Number one, if you take a look at Exodus 7, where the Sunday school lesson begins, the Lord says to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet." And therefore, God was very clear through Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh that this was happening because of the terrible way in which the Israelites were being handled. And in fact, God was doing this in order to keep his promise all the way back to Abraham that the people of God would be brought back to the land of Canaan. The other reason I hesitate to say that we want to say this virus is occurring, you'll notice that of the 10 plagues, only 3 of them really dealt with the Egyptians and the Israelites. And are we going to say those 3, therefore, were telling the Israelites that there was something wrong? No. Afterwards, the other plagues only hit the Egyptian areas, not in Goshen, where the Israelites were. And finally, I'm reminded of when AIDS struck, particularly in the New Orleans area, there were certain pastors who said this is a punishment against those people who practice an immoral lifestyle. Well, what was interesting is that where those groups of people lived was a very low rate of AIDS, and it was more along the other areas geographically. So what are we going to say, that God was sending AIDS against the Christians rather against immorality? We really need to be careful sometimes, because in John chapter 9, there is a man born blind, and even the disciples, oh, who sinned, him or his parents? That was kind of the thinking going on there. Now, I'm not saying, as we are going to see in Exodus here, that God does not send destructive elements to those who are against his will. For example, he did that with one of the Herods, where he allowed them to die because they were eaten by, the man was eaten by worms. And we even know what disease that was today. So there's no doubt that suffering can occur, but to say this is definitely God's way of punishing those in the world, well, we got to be a little careful, because a lot of people who are Christians also are dying from this virus. And I would hesitate to say that, unlike the Israelites who were saved from most of the plagues, today we're not being saved as Christians from the virus. So it could be that God is using the virus today to wake people up to proper faith. This has been a wonderful opportunity for churches to start getting their message through the computers. And I know of people who have come to faith because of the illness, listening to the computer worship services and coming to faith. And who's to say that that isn't also part of God's plan? The final thing is, we as Christians, whether viruses are attacking us or enemies or plagues, we can rest assured that God's promises for his children are never broken, that he will be taking care of us, and that all things are working to our good. So that's how I would answer that first question.
So take us into the account of these plagues. Why does God send those plagues upon Egypt?
He sends the plagues upon Egypt because at that time, the most important and powerful man in Egypt was, of course, Pharaoh. And unless Pharaoh okayed something, nothing was going to be okayed. At first, Moses and Aaron simply asked Pharaoh to allow the people to go into the wilderness to worship their God, and he refused to do that. So the Lord says to Moses and Aaron, tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of this land. That's chapter 7, verse 2 of Exodus. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Now, is that something that God forced Pharaoh not to listen? No. We find this a lot of times when we're preaching the law of the law and gospel mission, that when people hear the law, they not only try to defend themselves against the law, but they actually get angry with you, as they did to Jesus, to the point where they crucified him. And so preaching the law may have the result that God hopes for, that a person will wake up to his true condition and his need for a savior. But a lot of times, the pharaohs of the world will not listen to us, because the world has decided that our God is no better than their gods. You can have whatever God you want, just don't tell us that this is the only true God. And this is the main point that God is making with the plagues. There is only one God, and he is far more powerful than Pharaoh. But he's doing this for the sake of bringing the people into the land of Canaan, so that the line to Jesus Christ will continue.
It seems as though these plagues grow in intensity. The first several are, perhaps we could just say, massive annoyances, like water turned to blood for a week, or the plague of frogs or gnats or flies, and then they start getting more deadly, so to speak. Talk about that.
Yes. I learned something from one of my field workers. I just so happen to have John Charlemagne, the son of Martin Charlemagne, as a field worker from the seminary, and he did a Lenten worship service and talked about these plagues, and I learned something I had never known before. Went through the whole seminary, and maybe I was told it, but I forgot about it. But in each of these plagues, there is a god of Egypt that the true God is really attacking. The water turned to blood, for instance. There was a guardian of the Nile source. His name was Khnum. There was a spirit of the Nile, Hapi. And then there was also a bloodstream in the Nile, Osiris. Now, those were three Egyptian gods. None of them had the power to stop the plague of the water turning to blood. And the second plague on the frogs, they actually had a frog goddess in Egypt. The name was Hapi, H-A-P-I, and another one related to fertility, Hetkva. When lice comes on, Seb, S-E-B, was the earth god of Egypt, and he was supposed to protect the people from lice, and he was totally powerless to do anything. And then, as you suggested, things started getting worse. In Exodus 8, when the fourth plague of flies was given, there was a fly god of Egypt, Utashit, and he was powerless against the true God. Then, as you indicated, things got worse. Diseases for the cattle took place. And there were two gods in Egypt associated with bulls and cows. The one was Ptah, and the other was Hathor. They were powerless against the true God. And whoever thought that when boils were sent, and that was upon the skin of the Egyptians, this was only affecting their physical bodies. And by the way, this was not happening in Goshen, where the Israelites were, but they had three goddesses of healing, Sekhmet, Serapis, and Intolatern. None of those were able to struggle against the true God. And there were also four gods dealing with weather. The Egyptian sky goddesses, the one was Nut, N-U-T, then Isis and Seth, and another one, Shu. He was the god of the atmosphere. So when hail came down, that was really something for such a storm to occur in Egypt, even from a historical point of view, and yet those four gods were unable to stop it. The locusts were the eighth plague, and there you had an Egyptian deity who was specifically to protect the Egyptians from locusts. His name was Serapia, and he could do nothing. Then you ended up with a situation with the darkness. And in that situation, you had two Egyptian sun gods. One was Re, and the other was Thoth. And those two gods could not stop the darkness. So finally, when God did the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn, this was not only a judgment on all of Egypt's gods, but specifically to Pharaoh, who considered himself to be a god. And therefore, I found that really interesting when I heard that from John Charlemagne, and I've done study on it since then, and expanded the number of gods that God would choose something that we love doing and make that a horrible situation. So coming back to the virus, I mean, people are getting the virus at times because of an immoral lifestyle. They can't break away from going against God's morality, his commandments. And because of that proximity between people and the way the virus is connected, one can see that those can be consequences of specific sins, but not in all occasions.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're talking about Moses and the plagues in Exodus chapters 7 and following. Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. We'll talk about Pharaoh's hard heart and God hardening his heart after this.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Explore and remember several facets of God's forgiveness with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Flowing from the Cross. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Flowing from the Cross at issuesetc.org. Flowing from the Cross, Six Facets of God's Forgiveness, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
What does it mean to live the Christian life? Reaching out in mercy to our neighbors, receiving our Lord's gifts in worship, and proclaiming His truth to the world. The Lutheran Church Extension Fund comes alongside churches and individuals to help them live out this beautiful Christian life every day. This year, we have a ripe opportunity to bring Christ to a hurting world. Discover the role you can play in this great work. Call 800-843-5233 or visit lcef.org.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At Hope Lutheran Church in Sunbury, Ohio, you will find rest for your soul, strength for the day, forgiveness of sins, and hope for the future through Jesus Christ. Because at Hope, you'll hear the Word of God faithfully taught and receive the sacrament faithfully delivered. This is Pastor Ben Meyer inviting you to join us at Hope for Bible class and Sunday school at 9:15 a.m. and the Divine Service at 8 and 10:30 a.m. Find us on the web at hopelutheransunbury.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
God sent these plagues to Egypt, among other things, to demonstrate that He is the only true God, as we are hearing from Pastor Tom Baker. The Sunday school curriculum called Enduring Faith makes that connection to Jesus Christ. Consider what Jesus said to His disciples there in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Well, that shows that it is Christ in the Old Testament who is declaring Himself to be the one true God through these plagues. You can find out more about Enduring Faith from Concordia Publishing House. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Talk On Demand Archives, and you can browse before you buy, or you can give Concordia Publishing House a call, and they'll send you a free sample, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Moses and the plagues in Exodus chapters 7 and following. Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel is our guest. So all along these plagues, we are told occasionally that Pharaoh hardened his heart, and there in the latter part of chapter 11, we're told that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. What's going on here, Tom?
Yes, this is a great point for the Sunday school children to learn about how the world works. when they hear the message of the law, particularly, their heart becomes hardened because they hate anybody telling them what to do. And they will try and use every excuse that they can think of to not believe that it is the truth. So when the first plague occurs, and what Moses was told and Aaron to throw their rod into and over the water and it turned to blood, well, guess what happened? The magicians under Pharaoh's control were able to do that also. Now, I'm kind of a magician because I've got family members who are experts at it, and I've learned a number of tricks, and I can easily fool Bible classes that I go to with what I'm doing. They cannot figure out how I am doing it. And so you could do secret things in order that water would turn to blood. And Pharaoh saw that his own magicians could do that, so he wasn't impressed. And then the second plague was frogs. That also was duplicated by the Egyptian magicians. But the rest of the plagues, the lice, the flies, the disease, the boils, the hail, the locusts, the darkness, they were not able to be duplicated by the Egyptians. But at that point, Pharaoh had become so proud of his own ability. So one can say that his heart was hardened by God in much the same way that God hardened the heart of Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate did not want to crucify Jesus. He says, I don't see anything that this man has done wrong. And then the Jewish leader said, we're going to go and tell your leader, Caesar, that you are not following his orders, that you think that this man can also be a ruler over us. And so Pontius Pilate kind of gave in, and his heart was hardened against Jesus, and he crucified him. This is a very common perception that the world has. Just listen to those who are living lives of immorality today, clearly contrary to the word of God, whether we're talking about women pastors, homosexuals, those who do abortion. They will have all kinds of excuses as their heart is hardened indeed, so that they will not listen. And finally, God wants to show not only the Egyptians, but the rest of the people in the world that he is the only God. And so he permits Pharaoh's heart to be even more hardened with the final plague, which is the death of the firstborn. And it wasn't the death of the firstborn male. It was a human being, but also of every firstborn animal in the household also died when the blood of the Passover lamb was not put over the door sills and the posts, which reminds us of Jesus being the punishment, the blood punishment for our sin, the Passover lamb who had come to take away the sins of the world, which he did on the accursed tree. All this is tied together because God is the author of the entire Bible, using prophets, apostles as the writers.
And it is by that final plague that God finally forces the hand of Pharaoh to release his people. This is a means of salvation for God's people, isn't it?
It really is, for a bit, because they get to the Red Sea. Pharaoh thinks that they're trapped, and he changes his mind, goes and chases them. God, though, in a pillar of fire and a cloud, separate the Egyptians from the Israelites until he opens up the Red Sea, which reminds us of our baptism, going through waters to be saved to the other side. And when the Egyptians tried to chase them, the waters came flowing back over Pharaoh's army and put them to death. That is quite symbolic of what's happening in the Christian life, that the waters of baptism flow over even Satan. And so he may be drowned. He's still a pretty good swimmer, but he can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. And that's the kind of God that is found in Holy Scripture.
With about a minute here, Tom, we've talked about what God was trying to demonstrate to the Egyptians and to Pharaoh in particular by sending these plagues. What was he teaching his own people?
He was teaching his own people that with the first two plagues, yes, they're part of the sinful world too, and therefore both the blood and the frogs affected them. But with the rest of the plagues, God is the one who redeems them. He makes us free. And what he does specifically, what he frees us from, is from the curse of the law. In the day that you sin, your death will be required. Well, our death was really done, substituted for with Jesus Christ. So he died as our substitute, as our Savior, as our Redeemer, and that's what the whole Bible is about from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation.
With 30 seconds, the law and gospel for the Sunday school children from this story of the plagues.
The law is that we all realize we need to be freed from the bondage of sin. As the curse of the law says, in the day that you sin, your life will be required. The gospel says, guess what? You may think you have no need for God in your life, but he still intersects with your life with a person, Jesus Christ, who died so that we will never die and who lives so that we will live eternally.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the Passover promise in Exodus chapter 12. Tom, thank you very much.
And thank you.
On the other side of the break, it's going to be part six of our series on the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school. Pastor Peter Bender will be talking about some practical concerns like how do you pay for a school? That's up next. During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Whedon's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
For your next family vacation, consider our beach house. A charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Sanctifying your daily errands with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues, Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethlehem Lutheran, Sylvan Grove, Kansas. Faith Lutheran Church and Preschool, Marinette, Wisconsin. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. Lutheran Church of Our Redeemer, Peekskill, New York. Mount Zion Lutheran, Castle Rock, Colorado. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. St. Athanasius Lutheran, Fairfax, Virginia. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Arapahoe, Nebraska. And Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues, Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal.